Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our carol service this evening. It looks like I've got backing singers, doesn't it? For this? They're far better than that. Well, it's great to welcome you this evening to our carol service. If you're new to Emmanuel, particularly good to welcome you this evening. A few sort of safety announcements. If we're needed, fire exits are, well, where they're signposted that way. There are one out that way, and there's always heading back out that way if you need it. If you need the toilets during the service, do head through the doors and head through the hall, and they're on your left. And to say that our service is going to proceed unannounced, so I'm not going to jump up after everything or before everything to let you know what's happening next. Do follow what's happening in the order of service. Everything you need is in there. So when there are carols, do stand to sing. When it's choir items, stay where you are, unless you're in the choir. Everything you need is on there. So the exception is if there's a carol where it says choir only at the beginning, stand at the beginning of it. And then we'll all join in where it tells us to on the order of service. We've called this service the gift because that is what Jesus is. We're going to find out more as we go through the service. But Jesus is a gift to the world from God, the greatest gift. And in what we sing and what we read, let us with awe and wonder respond in our hearts to the gift of Jesus. As we begin our service, let me lead us in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, as we gather together this evening to sing carols and hear again of the birth of Jesus, would events we have heard many times before move our hearts as if we were present when they happened? Work in each of us this evening that we would respond to the greatest gift ever given. Amen. And please would you stand, and the choir will sing the first verse, then we all join in with Once in Royal David's City. Please stand.
Oh, The Word at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Christmas Eve, and silent snow lay deep. Cold feet stamped, and breath came foggy white.
While high above, the moon, unblinking, gazed on huddled, hatted, hearty friends that night.
The carolers have come.
Coughing done, a tuning fork was struck, lantern raised, an upbeat arm held high.
And down it came. The pent-up voices loosed the news that Christ's birth once again was nigh.
The carolers have come. On they sang of skies with angels bright, manger bare and wise men bowing low.
And doors were opened, firelit faces smiled, and eyes were full of Christmas long ago.
The carolers have come.
Promised ruler from Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the end of the earth, and he will be their peace.
Thank you. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you. we're going to spend just a brief time talking to God. Some of us pray regularly. I imagine many of us pray in a crisis. The Bible tells us to come to God with confidence so that we may receive forgiveness and his help in times of need. So let's pray. God of grace and truth, you hold our lives in your hand. We pray for our world. Your will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all. Govern the hearts and minds of those in authority and bring the families of the nations, divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin, to be subject to the just and gentle rule of Jesus. And we pray for Christians in Kenya, India, Egypt, Libya, North Korea, and so many other countries in the world who will struggle to worship you freely this Christmas and will place their lives in danger if they do so and are discovered. Through Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Father God, you know that many of us are worried about a family member or friend who is ill. Some of us are worried about our own health. We bring all our anxieties to you now, the things that those close to us know about and the things that only you know about. Father, thank you that you know our hearts and share our sorrows. We pray for your consolation too, for those who have been bereaved and are finding Christmas so hard, for those whom we know and those we don't. We pray for the families and friends of Harry Dunn, those killed in the London Bridge stabbing, and so many others killed in terrorist attacks all round the world. Father, you sent your Son to die for us, and you understand suffering. Help us to keep coming back to you with all our hearts for the sake of Jesus who died for us. Amen. And finally, a prayer for ourselves. Lord Jesus, as we prepare to celebrate Christmas, help us to remember that it's your birth we're celebrating. In the midst of the food, the drink, the presents, the loving relationships and the difficult ones, the loneliness and unhappiness for some of us, the health worries and the financial worries. Help us to remember in the midst of all those that you came to be our Saviour and our Lord. Open our eyes to your glory. Fix our eyes on you this evening and for the rest of our lives. Amen.
BC to AD. This was the moment when before turned into after, and the future's uninvented timekeepers presented arms. This was the moment when nothing happened, only dull peace sprawled boringly over the earth. This was the moment when even energetic Romans could find nothing better to do than counting heads in remote provinces. And this was the moment when a few farm workers and three members of an obscure Persian sect walked haphazard by starlight straight into the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you. The visit of the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. beating heart. Jesus laid in a lowly manger, facing a world of dangers. Count it on me, a stranger, into a child of God.
The worst present I think I've ever got was an Australian rugby jersey. You know, there's only one team, clearly this one.
Don't tell my husband this, but when we were to get married, I happened to mention to him that I like Bryan Adams' music. So for Christmas, he got me a Bryan Adams song album. Well, who's Bryan Adams?
So the worst present that I've ever received is a fruitcake. Every Christmas, it seems like a perpetual one, I keep getting fruitcake.
An aunt of mine is very keen on interesting presents, and from the innovations catalogue, I believe, she got this egg whisk that you can whisk an egg inside its shell. Not quite sure the purpose of that, things you have to break the shell to make something with the egg.
A satsuma at the bottom of one of my mum's actual stockings.
The worst present I ever received was from an elderly aunt. I opened it up and it was a small picture of something I wasn't really interested in at all. But what made it worse was when I took it out, inside there was a little gift tag which said, "To Hilda, with love from Grace."
The worst present I ever received was from two school friends, and it was a biography of Jack the Ripper. And I was so appalled that they would ever think that I would like that.
The most meaningful present I have ever had, I think, was from my daughter Katie. she made a jar and filled it full of lots of little slips of paper on which she wrote all the things that she appreciates about me, for the things that I've done for her, the fun we've had together and things like that.
My mother cooked me a continental breakfast when I was a kid. It's hard to unpack here, but please come and ask me and I'll share all the details.
The most meaningful present I received was one from two of my daughters when they were very little. They decided they wanted to thank me for things that I'd done for them. So they went out and bought me a lovely little pen, a sort of a glitter pen. It's in a drawer by my bed. I've never used it because it's too precious to me.
The most meaningful present I think I've got was a watch my father gave me quite a long time ago, and it was just before he died. So I had the watch for many years, and even going to Zimbabwe to do some bungee jumping, I still kept it on, and yeah, it really meant a lot.
Anytime my daughters have written me a letter or a note to say they're sorry for bad behavior or just have appreciated me, I just find that a really significant gift, and it's meaningful. Even though I sometimes don't feel like I deserve it, it still has been really meaningful to me.
The most meaningful present I received was from Joseph when he was really little. He'd made a card at school, Christmas card, that had all decorations on, and gave it to me, and he was so proud of it, and I just loved it.
A hand-forged kitchen knife from my father, not so much for what it was, but because he wanted me to have something which I would really value.
Well, he makes all the difference in the world. He showed me what a real gift is, he showed me how long his gift lasts for, and he showed me how to respond to his gift.
The gift of eternal life, Jesus coming and dying for our sins, is the best gift, and with that we don't need any other gifts.
Well, Jesus is the best present because he's real. So there really was a man called Jesus, and he really was born a long, long time ago. But because he was born, it makes all the other things real as well. So all the other promises he gave us really means that we can have something to look forward to, a hope for the future.
It means I know I'm safe in God's love, both today and always.
The gift of Jesus for me for Christmas is eternal, and it's forever. It doesn't go out of fashion, it's not out of date, and I just know that when I have Jesus, there is just hope in this desperate world that needs him.
Jesus is the best gift ever because he gives me purpose, a reason for the hope of the future, and for living day to day I serve him and want to share my love for him with those around me, and that's what gives my life purpose.
Having Jesus as the best gift at Christmas is such a great comfort and a sense of hope, because God wanted to rescue me and he sent his son Jesus to be my rescuer.
Great, well thank you to all those who are involved in that video. We're thinking about the gift. Some gifts that we get at Christmas, we love receiving. Oh, can you not hear me? Ken, am I on? I think I'm switched on. Am I on now? Okay, you can hear me now. Great. Some gifts we love receiving at Christmas. Some gifts maybe we don't love quite so much. I loved hearing about those gifts that were the worst gifts. I read about a couple of other worst gifts. One family I read about, three boys, really excited at Christmas. They were looking forward to getting a Nintendo. That's a games console, for those who don't know. And they were really looking forward to it. They were hoping they were going to get it. And when it came to Christmas Day, they saw under the tree a box which was about the right shape, about the right size. They went to it and they looked at the label and saw it was from their grandparents, which they were a little surprised about because their grandparents weren't particularly keen on games consoles. But anyway, they were excited anyway, and they ripped open the paper, and it was a Nintendo box. And they opened the box, and inside the box was a typewriter. And the grandparents thought they would just benefit from doing some typing practice, and the children were devastated. An awful gift. Or I read about another one, which was someone who'd been given a heater for their aquarium so that their fish were at the right temperature, but it was a faulty one and it cooked their fish. Some of the worst gifts maybe that you might receive are ones which maybe
you gave to the person the previous Christmas. Of course, you would never do that to someone, would you? Well, there can be some duff gifts, some really awful gifts, but there is a great gift. Christmas is all about the gift. And this gift is described for us in one verse that's on your order of service. Would you turn to it? It's John chapter 3, verse 16. It's just under where it says, talk the gift. And I'm going to read that verse for us. It says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Just that one verse. And we're going to think about that, and we're going to ask three questions of that verse. Now, these aren't difficult questions. You're not going to be surprised by the answers. But this is wonderful because it actually shows that the Christian message is actually incredibly simple, but it is incredibly profound. So we're going to ask three questions of that verse. And the first question is this: why did God give the gift that is Jesus? Why did God give that gift? And you see the answer in the verse there. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." The answer is that God loved the world. Now that is great news, because we can sometimes wonder at the motive behind gifts. If on Christmas Day someone gives you deodorant or a cookbook, there could be a subtle hint behind this. There might not be, though. And some people get the wrong idea about God. They think that God is just out there to get them. One of the common misunderstandings about God is to think of God as being like a mean head teacher who is just looking at you disdainfully at almost everything that you do. But the Bible tells us, though God is a judge, and that is a very good thing, because as we look at the world, there is a lot in the world that is not good. There's a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of injustice that needs dealing with. And it is a good thing that God is our judge. But actually, the Bible tells us God's main attitude towards the world, towards you and me, is love. He loves us. That's why God gave the gift. Second question that we're going to ask. Well, the second question is, what did he give? And that's nice and obvious, isn't it? He gave Jesus. Or in the words of the verse, he gave his one and only Son. More precious than anything else, God gave his Son. Well, we've heard about meaningful gifts, haven't we? And some of them are very, very precious. I wonder if you've ever bought something for someone where you know it's going to be a really significant gift. Something very precious. Something just right for them. Maybe you're going to be giving it to them in a few days' time. You've got something you know they're going to love. Glenn Scrivener, in his book, The Gift, which we're giving to you this evening, I'll explain more about that in a minute. In his book, The Gift, he says, just imagine that moment. You're about to give that gift and you give it to the person. Between you and them is that gift, that significant gift. And he says, in between you is the gift. It's more than a purchase cloaked in green paper and sticky tape. In that moment, the gift handed over is you. When it comes to important presents, we put ourselves into them. They're not just things. They communicate us and how much the other person means to us. And when a gift is received with joy and gratitude, there is no better feeling in the world. And that's true, isn't it? When we give a really precious gift, there's something of us in it. And when it's received and received with joy, there really is nothing better in the world. Well, the gift God gives really is him giving himself. It is him giving his Son. Nothing more precious could be given. But we need to realize that the giving of Jesus wasn't just the birth of Jesus into the world. You see, God knew how Jesus would be received, that he would be rejected, that he would die on a cross. And God knew that when he gave his son. The giving of Jesus wasn't just about the manger, it was about the cross. It wasn't about just about Bethlehem, it was about a hill outside Jerusalem where Jesus was executed. God knew all of that was going to happen, and all of that was part of him giving his only son. What did God give? He gave his son. Third question, final question. What does the gift do? What does the gift do? Some gifts don't do anything. Some gifts are pretty useless. Like that one where it can whisk the egg in its shell. What is the point of that? Oh, it may be clever, but why would you ever want it? Well, the verse tells us what the gift of Jesus does. Have another look at the verse, would you? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now that is quite a gift, isn't it? That outstrips any gift that you are going to get on Christmas Day. A gift that can give you eternal life. Life forever. I mean, what would you do? What would you give to get something that gives you and your family and your friends life forever? People will do amazing things to win things, won't they? I read earlier today about, you know, those ones, car companies will do this. You can win one of their cars if you keep your hand on their car and you're the last person left with your hand on the car. You can win their car. I read of a guy who did that in this competition. It was to win a BMW. After 4 days and three nights, during which contestants were only allowed a 15-minute break every 4 hours to eat, sleep, go to the toilet, sit down, presumably, only three of them were left after that time. After 4 days, three nights, three people left, hand on the car. One of them quit in tears after his legs had swollen so much he couldn't even walk. And the second gave up 3 hours later, making a guy whose Christian name is Song the last man standing. He'd lasted for 87 hours. But the competition wasn't even to own the car. It was just to have the right to drive the car for 5 years, after which he had to give it back. He said, "I won it, but it was not worth it. I'd never do it again. At the end, I didn't have the strength to eat." Well, he wouldn't do the same again. What would you do? What would you do for that car? Maybe you wouldn't do that. What would you do for eternal life? For you, for your family? I mean, you'd do anything, wouldn't you? You'd give anything, everything to get that. But actually, the whole point is we can't do it for ourselves. We can't gain eternal life for ourselves. We can't gain everlasting life for ourselves. That's what's so wonderful about the gift of Jesus, that he came to win eternal life for you and me. And he didn't do it by putting his hand on a car for 87 hours. And he didn't, it wasn't just so weak he couldn't eat. He went to the cross. He died for you and me so that we could have eternal life. See, there's nothing you and I can do for it. There's nothing we can do to win it, to earn it. Jesus has done all the work that's needed. He won it for us. So that if we'll believe in him, if we'll come to him, we can have life forever. Now that is an incredible gift. And I hope that you'll want to investigate it. It is a life-changing gift. You do need to know that. I hope you spotted that in the video that was shown, that those people who are describing how Jesus is the greatest gift, you could see in the way that they were responding, this isn't just a fact. This isn't just something they knew about. This is something that has changed their lives. that has changed their purpose in life, their meaning in life. This is a life-changing gift. And actually, be aware, if it hasn't changed your life, that probably means, no, I think that does mean that you haven't received that gift. You haven't received Jesus, because he does change our lives. So I hope you'll want to find out more, to investigate more about Jesus. Now, there are a few ways you can do this. Would you just have a look under your seat? We've done this previous years. Under your seat, you'll find, would you pick up, there's a card, there's a book, and there's a pen. A card, a book, and a pen. Now, the book is the gift. So that book, the gift, is that maroon-coloured book. You pick that up, there you go. Now, put that somewhere safe, would you? That's a gift to you. That is our gift to you this Christmas. And if you read that, you will find out more about the gift that is Jesus. So put that in a pocket, in a purse, in a somewhere safe that you can take that home. Do take that one home with you. Another way that you can investigate more about Jesus would be to keep coming along to Emmanuel Church. You could come along to our services, the rest of our services over Christmas. There's a crib service on Christmas Eve at 3:30, 10:30 Christmas morning, you could come back. Or any Sunday, come back 10:30 any Sunday and learn more about Jesus. The last thing is about this response card. I'm going to leave this to you, whether you want to fill this out or not. But there are, if you want to find out more, there is a course that we're running called Christianity Explored. You may have heard me mention this before. How about this year? Why not actually come on this course and find out more about this incredible gift that Jesus came to bring? The way to do that would be to write your name on the card, some way of us contacting you, and just tick the box, Christianity Explored course, and just pop it in. There's a basket at the back. I'm not sure where it is, somewhere near the back there. Fill it out, pop it in there, and we'll get in touch with you and let you know, and we'll talk about when we'll run the course. It's a course for coming along, investigating Jesus, and asking your questions. I like it when people come along who aren't Christians, who just want to ask questions, who want to find out more. How about coming along? We'll run it in the new year. Fill that out and pop it in the box at the back. There's no pressure to fill it out. But if you'd like to do so, it'd be great if you did. If you want to find out about anything more on the card, then do fill out, tick other boxes as well, and we'll let you know more about that. Well, Jesus is an incredible gift. We've asked three questions of that verse. Why did God give the gift? And the answer is love. What is it that God gave? His Son. And what does the gift do? He gives everlasting life to those who will turn to him, to those who will believe in him. Now that is an incredible gift. And I hope this Christmas that you will receive that most amazing of gifts.
Glory to the Lord.
to have a seat. Well, we've come to the end of our service. Thank you so much for being with us. I want to say a few thank yous. Thank you to Brian, who led the choir and wrote some of the songs that they sang and one of the poems as well. Brian, thank you so much for your work in doing that. And thank you to the choir as well. I know you were itching at various points to clap them, and you felt, we're in a church, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't look happy. And therefore, I'd like to encourage you now to give them a round of applause. And thank you also to Simon, playing the organ throughout. Done a great job. Thank you so much, Simon. Okay, we're not going to clap everyone individually now, otherwise you're going to be here a long time. Okay, but thank you to those, to the readers, to Cara for leading prayers. Thank you to everyone involved, those behind the scenes, those up front. Thank you so much to everyone who made this evening possible. Do stick around. Mulled wine, mince pies through in the hall, so do head through that way for that. And there's there's soft drinks and there's other things out there, lots of goodies, so do head out that way. I'm just going to close the service for us with a prayer. Let's pray together. And now may the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the worship of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, and the gift of Jesus Christ be ours this Christmas, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and those whom we love this Christmas and always. Amen.